Hello and welcome to Off Topic Talk, show number 1, April 21st, 2006. We are here to talk about interests, hobbies, pastimes, and passions, all the things that we find interesting in life. Today's topic is going to be a review of China Mayville and several of his books, the ones that I've read so far. China Mayville is 33 years old and has lived in London since his early childhood. Educationally, he has a Bachelor of Arts in Social Anthropology from Cambridge, and from the London School of Economics, he has both a master's degree and a PhD in International Relations. If I could ask him one question, it would probably be why someone with that kind of academic credentialing has turned to writing, I don't know how to describe the fiction that he writes. It's science fiction, it's fantasy, it's steampunk, it's hard to describe, but I would be interested to know why he has chosen to write what he writes. Currently, China Mayville has several books to his name: Perdido Street Station, The Scar, King Rat, Looking for Jake, Iron Council. I'll be talking mostly about Perdido Street Station and The Scar today, those being the only two I've read so far. Iron Council is on my bookshelf in the pile of books to be read, and perhaps I'll follow up with a short review on that once I've gotten through it. I have tried to make sure that I do not drop any spoilers for the books today. I have not gone into much detail, and I do not think that anything I'm going to say will spoil the books for you. Anything that I do say can easily be found on the book covers, so there shouldn't be any major surprises. If you are the kind of person, however, who does not like to even read book covers, I would recommend you skip ahead a little bit and pick up after the reviews have been done. Let me also at this point apologize if I am mispronouncing Mr. Mayville's name. Perdido Street Station and The Scar are both set in the world of Bas Log, a world of Mayville's own creation. It is a setting of incredible depth, originality, and complexity. It is a collection of steam-powered cyborgs, surgically and thaumaturgically altered or remade prisoners, insect-headed humanoids, revolutionaries, punch-card-programmed robots, multiplanar beings, humanoid avians, amphibious shaman, and a vast, vast variety of other denizens. This amazing world and the stories that are set in it unfold at its own pace. There are no lengthy explanations for the readers as new things are discovered. The world is simply presented as it is, and the details are filled in gradually as time goes by. Mayville will present something and not offer an explanation. You'll just have to keep reading and find out what it is he's referring to, and eventually everything is explained, but it adds a certain air of, well, mystery to the books, not necessarily understanding everything that's going on, but eventually finding out everything is very satisfying. Perdido Street Station. This book finds us in the massive city-state of New Crobuzon, a thriving, dirty, corrupt metropolis full to the gills, sometimes literally, with commerce, pollution, corruption, violence, politics, love, hate, and every other human condition you can imagine. The Scar, the second book I'll be talking about, takes us onto the high seas of the world, and introduces us to yet another unusual and original collection of people in a most unusual pirate community. The two books are tied together by a common character and the setting of the world of Bas Log. The Iron Council is set in the same world, though at a later period of time. They are all independent books, and you do not have to read one to read any of the others. They all stand alone quite well. Discussing the books overall, I think Mayville's greatest gift in these books is how much sensory impact his words have. These are standard paperback books. There are no pictures, no little icons or drawings, but they are the most visual books that I have ever read. Reading them, I could taste the coal smoke and feel the taint of the oily, polluted waters of the river. It was a very, very sensory-rich experience to get through these books, and I cannot recommend them highly enough. The plot lines of each of the books, and there are several plot lines in each book, are convoluted and intriguing. A myriad collection of characters, all with their own agendas, desires, loves, hates, and all cross paths, helping and sometimes hindering each other, sometimes both at the same time. There's not much in the way of happy endings for Mayville's cast of characters. The stories are resolved, and the characters move on if they've managed to survive. Don't expect parades and medals. We're given a glimpse into an ongoing story of life in a vast and complicated world. Much has already happened, and there is yet more to tell. While the immediate conflict might be resolved, the people involved still go on from where we leave them. Maybe they've been beaten, hurt, or worse, but their story still continues. We get a brief glimpse of events happening in a vast and complicated world, though it is enough. Enough to entertain you, enthrall you, sometimes sicken you, but it should certainly pique your interest for more. Perdido Street Station follows a very dynamic group of characters through an intense story of intrigue, mayhem, discovery, and terror. Our lead is Isaac, an eccentric, somewhat obsessed scientist, focusing his life on a theory that he has formed, which has about the same credibility that cold fusion had 10-20 years ago for us. Isaac is hired to help a Garuda, a bird man, called a Yagarek. Yagarek has hired Isaac to help him restore his ability to fly. At some point in his past, Yagarek committed some horrible crime amongst his people, and they removed his wings for it. Surrounding these two are a collection of characters, the likes of which I really have not seen before in a book. In time, we are caught up in conflicts between a major crime lord, the city is rather sinister, but extremely effective militia, and a collection of otherworldly beings who are in the process of eating the minds of the city's inhabitants. It's a rather broad story with some far-reaching ramifications for both the individual characters as well as the city-state of New Crobuzon itself, and I will leave you with this to tease your appetite. Go out and pick up the book. Give it a try. I am fairly certain you will not be disappointed. The book The Scar, timeline-wise, follows Perdido Street Station by less than a year's passage. We pick up with a character named Bellis Coldwine. She did appear as a secondary character in some of Perdido Street Station. Here she is the focus of the story. This particular story does have a cast of characters, but it's a little more focused than Perdido Street Station. The area encompassed is a little bit smaller, and I'll get to that in just a moment. Bellis is on a journey of escape from various things she was involved in, both directly relating to the plots of Perdido Street Station and some other things that she did. She takes ship for a far colony where she hopes to hide herself until it's safe to return home. She never gets there. On the high seas, their ship is captured by an unusual collection of pirates. The ship's senior crew are killed, and the rest of the crew and the passengers are converted into citizens of a mysterious pirate community called Armada. Armada is a vast collection of ships, ancient and new, formed together into a single island, tied together, chained together, welded, bolted, a floating community ruled by quite a varied collection of people, many of whom are carrying on their own various dark agendas. Once in Armada, Bellis finds herself embroiled in a massive conspiracy to summon a rather legendary monster from the depths of the ocean. Before too very long in this story, we find that the summoning is really just the first step in a much larger, more frightening plan, a plan that could very well change Armada and the face of Baslog itself. Along the way, we again are treated to Mayville's wonderfully intricate plots and plans from a variety of characters, again working for and against each other. The Scar follows Perdido Street Station in generating a very unusual story, and a story that I believe you will enjoy. If you enjoyed Perdido Street Station, go out, pick up The Scar. Again, you will not be disappointed. At some point down the road, I will get through Iron Council, and I hope to do a short review of that. I've kept these reviews short and rather vague. Again, I don't want to spoil the books or anyone who's interested in reading them, and I just wanted to whet people's appetites. These are phenomenal books. These are probably going to be different from almost any other science fiction, fantasy, speculative fiction that you have read. And I cannot recommend them highly enough. Today's unusual news story. On Saturday, April 15th, just about a week ago, at the time of this recording, about 1,900 people in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, got together to set a new world record. They are attempting to set the world record for the most people doing the bunny hop. I will repeat that, yes. 1,900 people are going to get together and try and set a new world record, officially recorded in Guinness, for the most people doing the bunny hop. The current world record was set in 2002 and is held by about 1,500 people from the town of Detroit Lakes, Minnesota. I have yet to see the results of the Lake Geneva attempt, but I do wish them luck. If you check my show notes, you'll find some information on this story, and you can do a little more reading. Perhaps by the time you listen to this, it will all be old hat, and we will know if they have succeeded. Again, good luck. And now we come to this week's media suggestion. I recommend that you go and check out a podcast. This one is called Geek Foo Action Grip. I will have a link in the show notes. And it is created by Mer Lafferty over at geekfooactiongrip.com. As you can probably guess by the title, the show that she produces is a geek-oriented show. It's entertaining, at times serious, at times lighthearted. If you are a geek, if there is a geek in your life, or if you're just curious, go check out her show sometime. I think you will be remarkably entertained. I have a tangential thought for you, something that's going to travel off any of the topics I've been discussing. It's something that just occurred to me recently. Have you ever thought about flight, about flying? Human beings don't have wings, but every day, every night, we are up there. People are in the air, traversing the sky, covering the seas, crossing over continents. Flying is more than aerodynamics. It's more than foot-pounds of thrust and lift ratios. Flying is imagination. Flying is determination. If the Wright brothers hadn't done it, someone eventually would have. The next time you see a plane in flight, or the next time you're on one, when you feel the pressure of takeoff, I want you to remember something. We are up in the sky through force of will. Laws of aerodynamics may be the tool that gets us there, but we are aloft by the power of human determination. So many of us take it for granted, and yet it is an amazing thing that we've accomplished. And that will start to bring this show to a close. Next episode, I will be talking about the actor Bruce Campbell. If you've never heard the name before, take a look for him on Internet Movie Database. We'll have some more strange news, and we'll see what else comes up as the week goes by. I never can tell what is going to catch my interest, so every week will be something new. If you have any questions or comments, the best place to post them, as of this edition of the podcast, is on the blog site at offtopictalk.blogspot.com. Later on, I hope to have an email address and possibly a forum dedicated to the podcast for more feedback. I hope you all have a safe journey. Thank you for listening.